Support for the City of Smack podcast comes from New Balance Running. I've been waiting a few weeks to finally put this ad read together because I'm excited to share my review of the New Balance SC Elite V4. It is the shoe that I wore to break 3 hours at the Houston Marathon, and now it could be yours. I had my first chance to try on a pair with a secret all-white prototype at the New York City Marathon, and I came away from that race a bit bummed about my time, but with zero issues on my feet, no hot spots or blisters, and my legs weren't as beat up. So while I could have opted for any other shoe, I stuck with the SC Elite V4s. It's got a new PIBA fuel cell midsole, and they updated the carbon fiber plate design to have a more forefoot stiffness, so you get more pop than the other previous versions. They also changed the upper to Phantom Fit, so it secures your foot down. The bonus in all of this is the neon accents. It looks awesome, so if you're looking for a race day shoe, my recommendation right now is the New Balance SC Elite V4. If you're looking for some other new drops from New Balance, there's a Fuel Cell Rebel, which is a lightweight, everyday training shoe that's out now. The old reliable Fresh Foam X1080 also has some new colors available. Head on over to newbalance.com/running to check them all out. That's newbalance.com/running. Thanks to New Balance for their support of all things City of Smack. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. As you know, we love starting off by giving our listeners a shout out when they leave us a review. If you want yours to be read, leave a 5-star review and let us know why you love this show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This week's review comes to us from Scene.Running, who wrote, "As someone who got into running later in life, this is the best way to learn about it. Chris and the rest of the team do an unreal job telling stories and covering events. The best part, it's the perfect combo of old school journalism and a more modern, lighthearted style. Thank you for all you do." Nailed it. And thank you, Scene Running, for those kind words. My guest for this episode is Jess McLean. She was on this show just a few weeks ago after her 4th place finish at the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials. However, something has changed since then. She just announced that she has signed a professional contract with Brooks. Back when she was Jess Tahn to many people in the track community, she signed with Brooks coming out of college at Stanford and ran for them from 2015 to 2018. Then around that time, she decided to make some changes, moved to Arizona, decided to take a break from running, found her love for it again, took to the roads, and then ultimately it all led to the huge surprise with her performance at the Olympic Marathon Trials in Orlando. She shared much of that story in our last episode from February. Now we follow up with details on how she decided on signing with Brooks, what will change, what won't change, and how she flipped on her decision to get back on the track for the 10,000 meters. Get the full scoop. Without further ado, here is Jess McLean again. All right, now we welcome back Jess McLean to the podcast, not that long after her first appearance on the show, this time with some big news. This morning, it was announced that you re-signed with Brooks nearly 10 years since the first deal. When we last spoke, it was about kind of what you were looking for in a potential sponsor. And, you know, you laid out the plan. Why did Brooks kind of fit that mold?
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, first of all, Chris, for having me back. I feel like I'm overstaying my welcome on the pod, but I'm stoked to be here. It's such a good way to start my work week. But I never stopped running in and like loving Brooks since I left. I mean, I've been running in their shoes since moving back here, and here is in Phoenix, and you know, end of 2018. And I've always just been a fan of the brand. And I think at the trials, it kind of all came to a head when I ran and walked by the Hyperion house, and I visited some old teammates and Brooks employees there the day before the Olympic trials. And it's such good vibes at Brooks, and the Hansen brothers have always been so supportive. And I've kind of been on my own in the running circuit for the last good bit of, you know, the last year and a half or 2 years. And the Hansen brothers are always like the first to come over and say hi and ask me how I'm doing. And All the women on the Hansons are amazing, and the men, and obviously Dez has always been so supportive. So Brooks has just always felt, it's always felt right. And then, you know, I reached out to Garrett Heath, and he and I kind of connected after the trials. And again, it felt right. And I've known Garrett since Stanford days. So, and we obviously ran together at Brooks. So it was just one of those like full circle moments. And I just feel super fortunate to have been, you know, kind of invited back into the Brooks family. And I'm just really excited. Like, it just feels right. And they didn't, you know, change anything about what I've been doing and the approach, you know, that I've kind of been taking in the last few years. And it was more so like, how can we support you? How can we involve you, you know, living in Phoenix and us being in Seattle, how can we involve you in product and all the fun experiences and events that Brooks are known for? So it's more so just like, okay, you're running well, how you're living life right now. And how can we, you know, build upon that and then also envelop you back in to the Brooks family. And yeah, so it's just been awesome. It's been great.
So in terms of specifics, this is totally separate from, you're not going back to the Brooks Beast. You're still self-coach and going to be remaining in Arizona, right?
Yeah, still self-coach. I haven't touched a track for a race in a minute. So not offended by the fact that, you know, I won't be joining the Beast again. Obviously I've been following the Beast since I left, and it's been awesome to see all the women have so much success. And obviously Josh has been crushing it, and my old male teammates too. But it'd be, I mean, it's obviously going to be great to see them again back at headquarters. And when I'm in Seattle, and obviously around meets, I might hop back on the track. I know I said I want it, but might hop back on the track, feeling a little bit more excited about that in the next, you know, few months. And we'll obviously see them there. So, so yeah, but no, I'm mostly just kind of the, not, you know, like the solo lone soldier, but, you know, similar to how Brooks is supporting Dez and Erica, you know, training where I live, and obviously a part of the brand in whatever capacity I can be from afar. And then all the big, amazing road races and track races, would love to be there to support a race. Yeah.
So you mentioned sort of getting this itch to step on the track. When did that start? Because, you know, when we did our podcast last month, you swore it off, but now seeing these results, Kira, Sarah Hall having some success, Erica Kemp bouncing back after the trials, it sounds like you want your turn.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome to see that. I think a lot of it was just a me problem. I've had like the weirdest anxiety just around the track since I stopped competing on the track early 2020. But seeing all those women, you know, hop right back on the horse and on the track right after the trials was definitely really motivating. And I've done a few workouts on the track and they've gone decently well. Body, it's like funny. I feel like the minute I run 25 laps, you know, of work in a workout on the track, the inner, you know, just the left leg was quickly reminded, you know, how bad it can hurt. So it's been like a little touch and go on just figuring out what kind of load my body can take on the track right now. And I'm just easing into that, but just got a fresh pair of spikes in the mail this weekend. So I'm going to slip those on at some point and just ease into it. But yeah, would love to give the 10K another go. I think now having a really solid base of marathon, you know, a few marathon cycles under my belt, and always having touched that speed component of training, I think it would lend itself to at least a, you know, a PR and hopefully a trials qualifier. But kind of keeping my expectations manageable for the track. Obviously the marathon training is still at the forefront, but I think it'd be a really fun test.
Is there a tiny degree of it where it's sort of like, all right, like you've experienced the marathon trials and then the track trials have just kind of, they've evaded you, you know, 2016 with the injury, being there in the stands. 2021, at that point, you'd kind of, you know, shifted your focus, but it's like, all right, this is, you know, as someone who has been in the sport for a while, it's still something that you haven't experienced.
I know. It'd be so fun to have my first trials on the track at 32. and I think I do have a lot of redemption, you know, to be made at Hayward Field. There's always been like that mental component to me where it, I just let it get the best of me instead of just embracing the environment and, you know, the amazing fans there and the overwhelming just like size and amazingness of the stadium. I think in, you know, when I was a collegiate athlete or early professional, I just let that affect me in a way that I shouldn't have. I should have used it as, you know, a means to get even more excited and just enjoy the moment instead of let it just like overwhelm me. And I think being at the trials for the marathon, it definitely was night and day. I think I have a different approach and just mental strength when it comes to focusing on what's important in the moment and then also just taking it all in. And I think that would be one of those moments where it's like, man, it would be really special. And it'd be really cool to race there with, you know, a Brooks singlet on again. So yeah, it'd be amazing.
The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mac podcast is Olipop. You know we've been pounding Olipop for over a year now. 2023 was a track season to remember, and Sidious Mag was able to be there for all of the big moments thanks to the incredible support of Olipop. What has become known as the runner's soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows, or if you're just watching at home and want to crack a can of Olipop open yourself. It's good for you too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, that only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout never could. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for the next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime. Caitlin Tui's number one flavor is ginger lemon. There are other great flavors like vintage cola, tropical punch, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, and I'm hearing rumors of another one coming soon. Sidious Mag podcast listeners get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout at drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and most recently, they just got added to Costco, so pro tip there. Next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. Drinkolipop.com, code SIDIOUS25. I guess another cool element of this new contract is that you negotiated it yourself, and you mentioned sort of how, you know, you had the connection to Garrett, who is now like the head of sports marketing at Brooks. How do you approach that conversation? Because we both know Garrett, and it's like the starting point is sort of like friendly, and then at some point it has to turn to being like, all right, now we're talking dollars and cents, and like, here's the setup. How did it all go down?
That's a great question. Yeah, I definitely will not be like leading a TED talk on how to negotiate contracts. But no, it's actually been really interesting because I think the last time I was on, I mentioned my husband started his own company, and I've just been on like, you know, in the room hearing him negotiate and work through a lot of just like contractual legalities and just conversation. So, I mean, and he's just a bulldozer, and I'm like, I could never be like that. But I think a lot of it too was just knowing what, you know, just how to advocate for what I know will help me perform well, you know, first and foremost, and then also just remain happy in life where I'm at right now. And there were just some non-negotiables, and luckily Brooks was a company that approached me with like a lot of the non-negotiables, like totally, like they just weren't an issue. I didn't have to pick up and move. They weren't requiring me to do any, you know, like altitude stints. They have amazing resources, but wouldn't require me to, you know, like 100% commit to a coach. So a lot of that was just like easy from the get-go. But of course, Garrett, I think like the first 10 minutes of our conversations are always like, gosh, I miss like Fremont Brewing, and how's the coffee, and how's the dog? And then we're like, okay, so, and there were a few things, you know, I just communicated were important to me, and they were easily, you know, discussed between Garrett and I. But I think, no, it was a great initial offer that I received from Brooks, and I really had no issues with it, which was amazing. And I just feel really supported in everything that I think I will need to run well, like I mentioned, with just staying in Phoenix. I've never really responded well to altitude. I think a lot of the injuries I've had in the past were just by kind of riding that line a little too closely at altitude during training camps. Obviously, it would be great to get out of Phoenix in the summer to evade the heat here. But I would likely do that at sea level this summer, or just like a weekend in Flagstaff just to get, a little reprieve for 48 hours. But no, everything with Brooks is awesome. The gear, I've been running in the shoes for the last, like month or so. And I mean, I love their high performance shoes. I'm excited to slip the spikes on. But like I mentioned, I haven't stopped running in Brooks shoes since I left. So there's not much to change, which is really, really awesome.
How is this going to fit? Because another element is like you're not giving up your 9 to 5 job. So, like, how does now having a professional contract again sort of fit into just like your everyday life? Because I've kind of like remember hearing from like other runners who have, a full-time job or a side hustle going that it's just like, oh, yeah, I mean, like this takes the pressure off of, allocating money to massage therapists or all these
Totally.
extra things around. So what are some of the extra benefits that maybe aside from like, yeah, the gear, the kit and that kind of stuff that this Brooks deal kind of helps alleviate?
No, it's a great question. And I luckily, like my colleagues and my bosses for the foundation I work for are just super supportive. And they're like, whatever you need this summer, like we'll work around it. And I want to remain a part of the team and a part of, like the nonprofit work that I'm doing. But this, the support from Brooks definitely lets me and allows me to back off on a lot of the marketing consulting jobs that I've been doing. So I'm kind of like figuring out, what that looks like right now. I'm not really going to race until end of April. My first like kind of real opener. I am racing April 13th here in Phoenix at a really fun local race called the Pat's Run. But so I'm kind of navigating like what my professional life outside of running will look like, but I also need to recognize like, hey, this is Brooks investing in me and I need to like respect that. And a big chunk of that, like my biggest expense as, a runner the last few years has been my medical support, massage, PT, all of that. So obviously this is going to really help offset a lot of what I initially needed to set aside and what I was, working my 9 to 5 for. And then just, to be transparent, like my our personal life will shift a little bit. My with Connor's job, he started his own company a year ago, so we were a one income household and I was grinding the last year to just make sure we were, staying above water. And that will kind of shift and he'll be able to, finally maybe pay himself a little bit more later this summer. So just the way all the timing has just been really great. But initially, how I see the Brooks support is like obviously a huge part of why I'm staying healthy right now is like all the investment into medical. That I've been really diligent about the last year and a half. So that will be like the biggest like offset and biggest piece of support for me. And then obviously just having the support traveling and going to meets. And luckily I think I ran well enough at the trials where I'll just have more opportunities now to do that again. And would love to run, a fall marathon or spring marathon. Coming up. So it's all exciting. I think it's just going to let me even run with just a lot more freely, without having to think about, a lot of the things that I've been having to really plan around and work for the last year and a half.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to the recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code CITYSMAG20 at checkout at velusfootwear.com. So since our last chat, I want to touch on like kind of the two different ways people maybe have been reaching out to you. You did your own little podcast tour. You hit all the major running podcasts. And that was awesome to see because your story really got out there. So I guess one, How did you feel about like just the running community's just general reception to really learning more about you beyond just like looking at the results and being like, oh, unsponsored runner finishes fourth? Now, you know, I'm sure you had a ton of people, because we got a bunch of messages too about like how open and honest and candid you were about things, and relatable, because it's like, oh yeah, you prove that you can have a job and really run at this super high level. So yeah. What were kind of like a lot of the general responses to, you know, all these interviews that you did?
Oh gosh, it was awesome. I think the general reception was something I wasn't anticipating at all. And I think it's really fun too. Like, you know, you have a great race and there's all this buzz and you're like, okay, it'll, at some point people move on and there's, you know, I mean, right after that, it was like indoor USAs, indoor worlds, and now track season starting. But it's so cool to see people that have like kind of stuck around and are just, you know, up for the goofy stuff I post, you know, just from daily life. And I've kind of been a little quieter on the running stuff lately, just because I wanted to, you know, let Brooks have their time to figure out the announcement and all of that. So now I'm excited to share more about, you know, all the running things that have been going on. Still trying to figure out how to do that in a way that feels like authentically Jess. And, but I think it's a really cool thing for people to be excited about, you know, not only the fun trials experience and outcome, but just in general, being supportive of somebody who, yeah, enjoys their job and enjoys their dog and going on, you know, trips for, you know, whatever it might be. But I hope people can just at least take away that, you know, balance is a good thing. And keeping it fun is important no matter what age you are or where you're at in your running journey. And that's something that Brooks has always, you know, been, it's been a pillar by which Brooks has kind of stood on for quite some time, is like figure out your path. And no running journey is linear, and one running journey doesn't look similar to another. So, and that's a testament to why I'm back, you know, all these years later. So, yeah, it's been really awesome. It's been cool.
Then the other way that the running industry may have probably like responded to is, did you start to get, I mean, calls for, you know, appearances at these races, or like even like the sponsorship side of things? Like, was the phone starting to ring a little bit more than you thought?
A little bit. I've kind of just like grown up too. And I'm like, okay, I can't just let opportunities come to me. So I've definitely I've shot emails out myself to, you know, races that I'd love to participate in and be a part of this summer and, you know, early fall. But you know, it's been like half and half. I think, I think a big lesson too of doing this on my own is like, you got to go after what you want and you have to be your own advocate and, you know, do the work, in that regard too. So, but it has been really cool to get, you know, the outreach and want to be in, you know, extended the opportunity to race in so many fun. I mean, the roads are just so cool. I didn't even realize like how many amazing road races there are out there. So hoping my career is very long so I can experience a lot of them. But yeah, it's been really cool. Definitely.
Did you email World Athletics being like, are you sure the US can't get four spots for like the Olympics?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I will be the best alternate ever and biggest cheerleader out there. I will. Yeah. No. Yeah, we'll see, you know.
It's like such a weird spot to be in, right? Because it's like you're obviously rooting for like America to send its best team 100%. And like, the, you know, the three women ahead of you. But at the same time, you're kind of like, I don't know, opening up Instagram stories and being like, is she looking okay? Like in that running video or anything like that? Like, are you all right?
I think I just, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why I'm so just like okay with being fourth and having placed fourth. I think it was just all around, there were so many positive takeaways from that day that I couldn't really dwell on. Like, I couldn't let that outweigh all of the good that happened. And it's a weird thing. Like, I want to run a fast 10K, you know, in April. And then if that one doesn't go well, like, yeah, I'd love to take another crack at it in May or June. But June is like, okay, a few months out from the trials. So I have to stay, or the trials, the Olympics, but I have to stay marathon ready and like get my long runs in. So That's all been an interesting puzzle to put together, and I realize I have to like really figure out my vision and map soon with all that. But no, it's all fine and good. I love those three women and they're awesome. But obviously going to do my part and just stay fit and ready just in case. But yeah, you see women, and I've gone back and listened to some podcasts or interviews with, Kara and Dez and women who've placed fourth. And oftentimes you just, you don't get to go, and it's okay. Like, those three women have earned it. And there's plenty of amazing opportunities to run well, late summer, early fall. So just trying to take the glass half full approach.
Yeah. Do you have like a loose like mental timeline in your head where it's sort of like, all right, if I don't hear by August 1st, then like I'll probably just commit to doing this fall marathon?
I think like mid to late July is kind of my mental cutoff. Still trying to figure out, if there's an answer from USATF I could get on like a declaration date, or just
Yeah.
like to just have a plan. I'm not like, hardcore type A planner. Like, I like to be adaptable, but I gotta have something to get me through those like 4:30 wake ups and
But
ready to
I'll throw the crazy scenario where it's like, all right, I don't, this is totally not understanding if like it could go this last minute. But it, I don't know, say August 9th, someone wakes up with food poisoning from Team USA and they're like, we need that third person on the team. Do you get on that plane on August 9th and then race August 10th?
I mean, I would do it 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
That's the right
totally.
answer. That's the only answer.
Yeah, 100%. I think it might have to be August 8th. Like, but no, yeah, I would put me in for sure. But again, hope like Fiona, M and Dakota get there healthy and kick ass. And yeah, no, I think, gosh, it would be fun to go regardless. I have, family that are like, oh, it'd just be great to go to Paris, like no matter what. And I'm not that person that would be like, oh, I'm just so sad to watch this and not be in it. Like, obviously, that would be amazing, but it would be so cool. I've never seen an Olympic event in person, so like that, gosh, that would be really fun also. But yeah, 100%. If somebody from Team USA is ever doubting, if somebody would step up 2 days before, not here. No,
That's you.
no. I'll do it.
Amazing. Well, Jess, I appreciate you taking the time to catch up,
Thanks,
after this
Chris.
news. I'm sure your phone is blowing up with all of the congrats and well wishes, and it's going to be really cool to see you back in a Brooks uniform.
Yeah, I'm so stoked. It'll be really fun. It's just a really cool moment, and I think it's you just never know what opportunities will arise and what full circle moments will happen. So like, I'm just happy that, I took that leap, the tough call in 2018 to move back here and figure my life and, self out and become the runner I am today, and then to be welcomed back by Brooks is just a it's a really, really cool opportunity, and I'm stoked to be back and can't wait to lace up. Whether that's, spikes first or my Hyperions first, TBD, but most likely it'll be a road race opener, so can't wait.
There's a lesson in there too about just like for people like leaving their jobs, leave on good terms. And who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, no, I really appreciate it. Hope you're having a great week, and thank you so much for the opportunity to chat again. I appreciate it.
That's all for this episode. Thank you all for listening. I love doing the show for you guys. So do me a favor, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'll read the best reviews on the next episode. That helps us grow and gets us even more awesome guests on the show. Let me know what you're enjoying about it. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Be sure to share this episode with your friends or family if you think they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's continue to build this thing together. Visit sidiousmag.com for a lot more. We've got a totally revamped website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.